Anyone who knows me well knows that I enjoy reading articles on healthy longevity. Who knows I like to do that? Okay. God willing, I want to live to be well over 100. And if I don't make it, that's okay, because heaven's going to be so much better. So if I do happen to die early, don't all come to my funeral going, oh, she didn't make it. How sad. No, I'll be just so happy in heaven. But I've decided recently, upon the birth of my first granddaughter, I would like to give wise, godly instruction to my granddaughter, Macy, when she gets to the age that I am. So that would put me at about 106, around the year 2069. I know I've said it before, but I think it would be great if the whole of City View Church would live to be 100. And when the news stations come to ask us the reason for our church's unusual longevity, we could all say, it's Jesus. What do you reckon? Do you know there's a Seventh-day Adventist church community in California, USA, that have done just that? This community of Christians have an unusually high life expectancy. They're one of three communities in the world that have, and they've attributed this phenomenon to the fact that they respect their bodies because they're a temple of the Holy Spirit, is what they say. And they also eat a lot of walnuts because they're in walnut territory. But they have a biblical diet, low on meats, high on nuts and seeds and all of that, and they have respect for their bodies. I've been reading for a while now articles which have the studies, the stats, the scientific proof of the contributing factors which may lead to longevity. We're talking healthy eating, getting the right amount of sleep, exercise, education, social networking, family, the list goes on and on. But there's something else which often pops up in studies as a good lifestyle choice which could help lead to healthy longevity. And this something else, like many of the other factors which lead to healthy longevity, is dealt with in the Bible. Fancy that. The Bible's got some of the longest living people in it. In other words, God came up with the idea of this first, not the scientists or psychiatrists or psychologists. God came up with this first. This something else is not only God, something God himself does, because Jesus did it when he walked the earth, but it happens to be his will for us. We're talking his will for us, and we want to know God's will for our lives. Who wants to know God's will for their life? I do. When we ask about God's will for our lives, often we're thinking about what we should do next in a particular area of our lives, who we should marry, which university should we attend, which car should we buy, which job should we accept, how many children should we have, lots and lots, my children. But these are all number twos when it comes to God's will, which is made clear to us in the Bible. And by the way, his will is always for our good. His will is always for our good. This is why it promotes longevity. His will, this something else, is written very clearly. Are you ready, City View Church? I'm about to tell you what it is. Because this could change your life for the better if you start applying it. This something else, this will, is written in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 18. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 18. And it says, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. In other words, have an attitude of gratitude. Be a thankful person. Don't take things for granted. Give thanks in all circumstances. Obviously, I'm looking at the spiritual aspect of having an attitude of gratitude. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Give thanks in all circumstances, not for, but in. I don't believe you thank God for evil things that have happened to you. That's dumb. That is really dumb. God isn't evil to his children. So don't give him the credit for things he hasn't done. When it comes to evil, satanic powers take the credit. I wouldn't do evil things to my children, and I never would want them to think that I have. No, we don't thank God for all circumstances, because some of them stink. But we certainly thank God in them. For this is the will of God for you. There's so many people that misinterpret this whole scripture. It's his will that you give him thanks always, no matter what the circumstance. And his will is always for our personal good. King David in the Old Testament also agreed with having an attitude of giving thanks, an attitude of gratitude. Psalm 100 is one of the many psalms in which he encouraged God's people to give thanks. Let's have a look. Psalm 100. And some of us used to sing this psalm. Psalm 100 verse 4. Enter his gates with
thanksgiving
and his courts with
praise.
Give
thanks
to him and
praise
his name. For the Lord is
good
and his love endures
forever.
His faithfulness continues through all
generations.
Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name, for the Lord is good and his love endures. His faithfulness continues through all generations. That's so true. I claim that one for my family. Enter his gates with thanksgiving. Enter his gates with thanksgiving. This means when you come before him, entering his gates is coming before him, coming into his presence for any reason, for prayer, to make a petition or worship. First and foremost, come with a grateful attitude. Come before him first and foremost, expressing thanks and praise. I would even dare to say, and I've never heard a minister say this, so I could be in trouble, but that's okay. I would even dare to say at this point, City View, don't even begin to enter his presence without gratitude and praise. Don't. The truth is, it doesn't help your cause at all if you don't first acknowledge who he is. And to acknowledge who he is to give him thanks and praise. To know God is to praise God. That's how awesome he is. Here's an example of what to say before you begin to pray. And by the way, this example is based on biblical fact, and I say it regularly. This is a good thing to say before you even begin to ask God for anything. God, I thank you that you are the all-knowing God. You are much smarter than me. You know everything there is to know about the universe. You know everything there is to know about my body because you created it. I thank you that you are the unchanging God. You are consistent. My feelings and emotion are often all over the place, but you are rock solid. Your decisions are based on the absolute truth. Your decisions are righteous and holy and for the good of your kingdom. I thank you that you are the God of love and that you gave your best for me. I thank you that you continue to show your grace and mercy to me and my children's children, etc., etc. Is that a good way to begin? Okay. Now that's a good way to come in to his presence. When you begin your prayers with this level of gratitude and thanks, first and foremost, God, the creator of the universe, responds to the truth of what you say. God is truth. Isaiah 65, verse 17. God is truth. And speaking out his awesomeness brings you his ear. Yeah. It does. Praising God is absolute truth. It is the highest form of prayer. In Psalm 22, verse 3, it tells us that God inhabits the praises of his people. Or another translation says, God is enthroned upon the praises of his people. He's there when you speak the truth about him. A little bit like us. When we hear someone saying something nice about us, honing in. When you can hear something rotten being said, just we all like good things being said about us, and sometimes they're not the truth. But every good thing said about God is the truth. The atmosphere quickly changes when you speak the truth about God because he's there. I know it changes because I felt it myself. I've been in some pretty hairy situations as a minister. There's been times when I knew evil was present. But when I began to express gratitude to God, my praise changed the spiritual climate within minutes. Minutes. Rest assured, people, God is there when you thank him. And thanking him is speaking the truth about him. Okay, that's number one. Being thankful, praising him, having an attitude of gratitude ushers in his presence. And God's presence is always good for us believers. Spiritually, physically, emotionally, his presence is very good for us. He is the God of restoration. He is the God of healing. We need to bask in his presence. So give thanks in all circumstances, because all circumstances need his presence. All circumstances need his presence. Okay, secondly, number two, and by the way, there's only 2 points in this sermon. Ain't that good news? That's really good. So this isn't hard to remember, is it? Point one, now point two. Number two, being thankful, praising him, having an attitude of gratitude cultivates our faith. It grows our faith, and we need faith for longevity. Believe you me. You know, it's hard to believe God's going to do anything good for us when we come before him with a whinging, whining heart. Prayer should never begin with whining and moaning. I tell you the truth, there are some prayers I've heard from people and I wanted to go and slip my own wrists after them. They've been awful. So awful that it felt like the devil was getting all the glory. I've seen some people come into a meeting where everybody in the meeting is in the flow and worshiping God, and this one person starts a prayer and puts a blanket on everything. A really negative, revolting, horrible prayer. Yes, it can be hard to thank God when life stinks, but do it anyway. Do it anyway. No matter how bad things are in my life, there is always, always the fact that I can be thankful to God for him just being who he is. And when I do, when I thank him, I feel like a gear change happens in my spirit. Who likes it when you go up a gear in a car? There's something about that surging forward when that gear goes up. All the men agree with that? Yeah, okay. There's been times when I've come before the Lord to ask him to fix things, some horrible things. But I've started with praise and thanksgiving. And before I knew what was happening, I was actually seeing God through my praise and thanksgiving. I was seeing God in my praise and thanksgiving. We all have the ability to see God because we have humble hearts. When we are saved, God gives us humble hearts. And what does it say in Matthew 5? Blessed are the humble in heart, for they shall see God. I was seeing God through my praise and thanksgiving, because praise is saying who he is. People, when you see God, nothing else matters. All the cares and concerns I have seem to melt away in his presence. It feels good. It feels good. Sometimes on the way to church, I keep my eyes open. In the week, I have my own little glory time. I have a break, a little holiday from the cares and concerns of the world as I praise and worship him. And then when you see God, when you see things through his eyes, you can believe for the impossible. Your faith is activated. It's not hard. I've noticed that when my faith in God is activated, now listen to this because I'm coming close to the end, but this is a really important point. When my faith in God is activated, I stop asking God for things, because when we ask, our subconsciousness thinks there's a possibility that he might say no. It's true, isn't it? When you ask someone, they could say no. I know of a little girl that did something very naughty, and her parents came to her and said, "Why didn't you come and ask us before you did that?" And she said, "Because I knew you'd say no." There's a possibility of a no. Sometimes we think that when we come to God. No, 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 no. When I've been praising and worshiping him, I don't ask. I now begin to thank God for things he's going to do, for the things he's already promised me in his word. I don't have to keep asking when he's promised them and said yes already. If I slogged away over a cake and Elise and Dinah came to my house and said, "Mum, that cake looks really good." I said, "Yeah, I know. I cooked it for you girls. I'm such a good mum. You can have a piece." And I walk off to, I don't know, wash my hands, and they follow me. "Mum, can I have a piece?" "I made it for you. You can have a piece." "Mum, could I have a piece?" "Yes, yes, you can have a piece. I made it for you." "Mum, can I have a piece? Please give me a piece of that cake." That's what we're like sometimes as Christians. I don't have to keep asking God when he's promised them and said yes already. I don't say, "God, please help me feel your peace and joy in this awful situation. I have no peace. I have no joy." No, 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 no. I say with absolute confidence after praise and worship, after praise and thanking him, "Thank you, God, for the peace and joy you have given me." And whammo, it's there. "Your joy is my strength. I feel strong. And I will praise you all the days of my long, healthy life, because your goodness and mercy follow me always." What more could I want if God's goodness follows me always? Here's another one for all you parents. When your kids are driving you nuts, or you're beginning to worry about their welfare, and this is based on scripture, where it says, "Enter his gates with thanksgiving in his hearts and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good and he loves, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations." Okay, through all generations. "God, I thank you for blessing my children and my children's children and my children's children's children with your presence. I thank you that I will see them all in heaven. They will be with me in heaven. I thank you that they don't need to learn by experiencing the evils of the world, but they will learn from reading your word. They will honor you all the days of their life and have a conscience for you and you alone." Is that a good one? That's a really good one. Do you have any idea of what I'm doing when my prayers get to this level? I'm prophesying. I'm prophesying the goodness of the Lord over my life and my children's life. That's how easy it is to prophesy. You speak God's word over your life, over your children's life. And of course, this church is my child as well, because I'm the minister here and I speak God's word over you. God has promised to see me through life's most difficult situations, and he has. Hey, by the way, talk about that generational thing. I'm just going to slip this one in. My uncle Tony has done a study on our family's lineage, and he actually managed to trace it all the way back, I think, to the 1500s, if not the early 1600s. And when looking all the way back there, there's a minister whose name is John Warwick in the 1600s, a minister. And then there's another minister. So what these people have done, they've prayed over their family. Now, when it got to my dad's grandmother, she was a born-again Pentecostal Christian in the late 1800s, okay? She had a daughter, my dad's mother, who became wayward, and she ran away round about World War I, and she was naughty. She wanted to join a dancing line, and she had a rebellious spirit, and she fell pregnant outside of marriage, and then finally she married my dad's father. Now, she was not a Christian, and in fact, she went into witchcraft. She read tea leaves and all that sort of thing, so she went really bad. And my dad's early years were very fearful years, because a lot of weird things happen in their house. When you sort of start to dabble in the occult, stuff happens. Anyway, he became a naughty boy, rebellious fellow, but then he got saved. And when he got saved, outside of the grandma, so she must have been praying, when he got saved, he came home and told his mum, and she was so angry that he'd got saved, really angry. Anyway, finally, after a number of years, he led his mum to the Lord. And she came to church, and she stood up and she gave a testimony. And Dad said that she'd never said this personally to him, and he didn't know it until she spoke it out of the congregation. She said, "I can remember when my son John first told me he'd become a Christian, and it made me so angry, because I knew in my heart I should have been the one to invite him into Christianity because of my mum." So how about that? So it skipped a generation, but then Dad managed to pull that generation it skipped back into the kingdom of God. God blesses generation after generation, after generation, after generation. You must believe this. You must believe it in order to receive it, and you speak it out. Speak it out over your family, over your grandchildren, over your great-grandchildren, over the kids that aren't born yet. Just speak it out. God's blessing that they will know him all the days of their life. God has promised to see me through life's most difficult situations, to help me out, to strengthen me, to care for me, to do miracles, to answer prayer. He's always promised that even when things don't go my way, he can work it out for good in my life. Born again Christians, we are in a win-win situation. When we give thanks in all circumstances, for giving thanks is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Give him thanks ushers in his presence. Giving him thanks increases or cultivates our faith. And you can believe the God of the impossible. So let's be a thankful people. Let's be grateful. Don't be a stingy, whiny person. Christians should not be that way. They should be the most positive people on earth. Let's praise him no matter what we face in life, because praising him will turn the bad circumstances around for his glory. Being thankful, being grateful, is a lifestyle choice, which leads to a long and fruitful life in Him. Yes, amen. Amen. And if you believe it, then it means that you could do it. Sometimes you hear about things that could help your health and you think, that's a really good idea. I like the sound of that. And you start off the next day to sort of do it, and halfway through the day you give up. Okay? You might like the sound of it. I'm asking you not just to like the sound of it, but to start doing it and to stick to it. It is a lifestyle choice to praise Him. And this brings in the Holy Spirit. That's being filled with the Holy Spirit. You know how Dad spoke about it last week? This is how you do it. I've given you examples. I encourage you all to get deeper in praise and worship with Him, because it will bless your family. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, we thank You. We thank You because You always say beautiful things to us that are for our benefit. Lord, we thank You for Your kindness that leads us to repentance. Lord, we thank You that You are our counselor in all situations. Lord, we thank You that by Your stripes we are healed emotionally, physically, mentally, spiritually. We thank You, Lord, that You took the burden of sin for us so that we can walk in health with You, Jesus. Lord, what we've heard, help us to mull it over. Help us to chew on it. Help us to meditate on it. Lord, help us to do it. Inspire every person in this congregation to do Your will, I pray, Jesus, because Your will is for the good of Your kingdom. And we love You, Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's stand and sing Give Me Jesus. Just before we have food together, Daniel, if you could play Give Me Jesus, and let's sing. Elise, come on.